The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna
shout! The Bills beat the Dolphins 37-20 today in Miami to go 7-3 on the season and keep the top wildcard spot in the AFC. Hello everyone, welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host Nate, and we are going to discuss the Bills defeating the Miami Dolphins handily, I might say, defeating them handily to 37-20. We're going to go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game, our plays of the game, and as always, our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers with some help from our great followers on Twitter. And also, again, a new drawing for the John Brown signed jersey. Yes, we still don't have a winner for the signed John Brown jersey. It's like all these people went through all this work to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, to leave a review, to retweet, to share, to like, or whatever. But as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, how's it going?
Hey.
It's going great, Nate. That was the game of the year so far.
Yeah. So I guess I'm glad. I guess you guys aren't too upset that you missed last week's recap, or not. I wouldn't say you guys missed it as much as I had to reschedule it. But really, this is going to be a much more fun game to discuss than that loss to the Browns last week. I just wanted to give some thoughts on the game. This was by far, at least in my opinion, the most convincing win that the Bills had this season. Right? I mean, this was the highest point total that they've had since the last time the two teams faced each other. And if you remember that game, the Bills were only up by 3 points when the Dolphins were kicking an onside kick and they lost it. Micah Hyde returns it, this weird, crazy onside kick recovery that turns into a touchdown, and the Bills end up winning by 10, which is, you know, a little bit inflated score, if you ask me, because I think they only really won by 3. And we were all, after that game, like, hey, wait a minute. I thought the Dolphins were the worst team in the league. How come the Bills are only winning by a score or so? And then, you know, this game comes around, you know, the Dolphins coming off of winning 2 in a row. And you're like, is this Dolphins team going to pull one out of the Bills, or are the Bills going to easily, comfortably win this one? And I want to say it was more of the latter. And I feel good after this win. How about you guys?
Yeah, the Bills really needed a win like this. And I think it's coming at a good time, too. Back end of the season, they do have some tougher games coming up. I think it's just they really needed that.
It seems like they finally, I want to say, clicking on all cylinders, both sides of the ball. It's just, you hate to see the special giving up the special teams touchdown. But the defense, right? 7 sacks, only allowed 23 yards rushing. That was great to see. And I think it was Allen's maybe his best game as a pro.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 2 out of the 3 phases of the game, I think they dominated in, it seemed. And I think even, like you were saying, Mike, if it wasn't for that special teams gaffe, I mean, the score would be there'd be a lot larger of a margin of victory for the Bills in today's win. So it was good to see. Really not taking anything away from it. Do you think at all that the loss last week to the Browns may have helped fuel this victory, because I'm not sure if the Bills just barely beat the Browns. Maybe they don't come out as on fire as they did. I think that they really felt like they should have won last week's game, and they should have. But I think they changed a few things, like, you know, Brian, they got Devin Singletary involved early in the game and often, as opposed to just sprinkling him in, you know, or just not getting a chance to even get to him in the game plan. I mean, he had 15 carries today on the game and four targets. So that was nice. That's something that I would love to see Devin Singletary get each week. Brian Daboll was up in the booth this week, something that I don't believe he's ever done before. So maybe the loss last week kind of sparked some changes offensively, and I'm sure defensively. As you said, Mike, 7 sacks, that's not something that they've ever done this season. In fact, it's the highest sack total they've had since last season when they played against the Houston Texans.
I think the coaching, though, is very good about being process-based, not outcome-based, right? So Hauschka's kick goes in, the Bills win. I still think everybody in the building would know that you just skated through that game and changes needed to be made. Now, whether it's Devil going upstairs, getting Singletary the ball, I think it was evident to us as fans and hopefully the coaching staff that changes needed to be made. Man, I really wish they would have gotten that game last week.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand you're trying to put a positive spin on it, but hopefully all those same adjustments would have been made and you'd have one more win.
I think it's almost even more indicative of them going back and watching tape of the previous Dolphins game, because they got run on pretty good in that game. And then, like you said, only 23 yards rushing this game. The offense did better. I think they made changes a lot based on the first game against Miami.
You know, one thing that can't be understated is I was reading something on Twitter. I can't remember, honestly, who tweeted it, but they were saying that the second game against another team, in fact, I'm sorry, it was the Nick and Nolan podcast on our podcast network. I have to give them credit. It wasn't something I saw on Twitter. It was a podcast I listened to on our network. And they were mentioning that the second game against a quarterback really tells you how good the quarterback is. You think about Brian Flores. He's a head coach for the Dolphins. He's a defensive-minded guy, right? This is the second time he's seen Josh Allen. And so he has tape on him. He's faced him already. How does Allen respond to what Brian Flores is going to do? Because John, you mentioned having tape on him, you know, seeing things for the second time. How do you adjust? How do you game plan against someone like Josh Allen? And no matter what Brian Flores threw at him, I mean, he looked really good. I wouldn't say, you know, he looked spectacular, but, you know, people have been flip-flopping between gunslinger and game manager. I would say he was much more of I guess a game manager with a lot of upside. I guess you would say no turnovers again today. So a really heady game by Josh Allen. He ran the ball, but he didn't run it too much. He ran it when it was smart to run it, and he got touchdowns on those plays and didn't take too many hits. There was
game manager. What are you talking about?
Oh, there's been a lot of criticism for Josh Allen being turned into a game.
He won the game.
If you listen to Sal Marana at the Democrat and Chronicle, he's like, they're turning him into Tyrod Taylor. Like, don't throw the ball, don't throw interceptions. And I'm like, I don't think they're doing that, Sal. I think that's a little too much. I think that they're trying to limit the mistakes, but I don't think they're trying to neuter him. And that today was evident of that. He threw a lot of passes today. He had a great game offensively passing.
I mean, of course, they're trying to limit the mistakes, right? And it's paying amazing dividends. He has 163 passes without a pick. And today, no fumbles, yep. No sacks.
Yeah, I was happy with him. Like I said, responding to the second time facing a team that has a great defense.
Yeah, but how much stock can you, like, that goes both ways, I think, too, right? Like, coaches in this league, you need each game. I don't think Miami was sitting on anything for the second game, right? Like, it's the same advantage for the Bills, for Allen, to be like, hey, what'd they do the first time around?
True, but I bet you they were going to switch up some things, show him some things that he wasn't ready to see yet, that they didn't show him the first time, trying to confuse him. Like, I'm sure, and plus they have tape on Josh as far as like the losses that the Bills have had or wherever he struggled between the Eagles game and the Browns game and things that he couldn't handle, things that he didn't do very well last week.
John, deciding vote.
I'm gonna have to go with Mike on this one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool, guys. Sweet. Thanks. Really missed you guys not being here last week. It was really unfortunate that we couldn't get together and share each other's opinions. No, I don't know. I know that the Dolphins don't even have an amazing defense or anything like that, but it was just good to see him not run into, because I feel like, you know, like we used to play Ryan Tannehill. I feel like we owned Ryan Tannehill. We had the book out on Ryan Tannehill. It was like, these are the things he does well, and these are the things he doesn't do well. And we always seem to take advantage of the things that he didn't do well. But in another team's attempt to try to take away these things that Josh did well, they couldn't. They just couldn't. So I don't know. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with lack of talent. They had a number of injuries today, defensively especially. But I mean, on offense, again, like I mentioned, Singletary was involved early and often. It was funny with this game in general. I tweeted that like the Bills actually made this whole like quote unquote offense thing, like it just didn't look so difficult today. I feel like in a lot of weeks past, it was just like, man, how hard is it to score 20 points? Like, I feel like they're making this into like some sort of excruciating math equation that they need, you know, Matt Damon to answer, you know, and his night shift at Harvard. It's like, no, it's not that tough. Like, just there's ways to score. Other teams do it all the time. They score over 20 points. It's not that difficult. So this was one of those games for that. Defense, I thought, got pressure early and often. This was a great coming out game for the Bills defensive line and blitzing, finally taking advantage of another team's weak offensive line. And, you know, special teams, just minus Hauschka, which was a huge bounce back game for him. 3 for 3 for field goals today, hit all of his extra points. The Bills coverage team blew. they couldn't cover anything. They looked awful. So it was just, it almost reminded me of, I feel like we've said this a few times in our recap podcast. It almost kind of reminded me of a Danny Crossman special teams unit. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, it was pretty bad, Nate.
Here's a quick quiz. Do you guys even know who the Bills special teams coach is right now?
Isn't it like Heath something or something like that?
Yes. Mike, do you want to finish that one? No, see, not that noticeable, right? Not that memorable.
What?
Not that memorable. Heath Farwell? Heath Farwell coming to me? No? No. Well, I mean, Heath Farwell better pick it up, or he might be saying farewell, or we might be saying farewell to Heath Farwell. At the end of this season. No, I don't think McDermott's going to fire him, even if he has it. Because at least he's not as bad as last season, but it's just not as much of an upgrade as I would have hoped. Luckily, it didn't cost them the game. There was a huge, 101-yard return by the Dolphins, and then another really long return, too. If the Dolphins could, you know, put together any sort of offense, they would have easily taken advantage of it, and they didn't end up doing it. So
I thought, the onside kick really could have hurt him, too.
Oh, the
I think that comes down to coaching.
Great point, Mike. I forgot about the onside kick. The one that was right after their first score, their first touchdown. Was it the second quarter or first quarter? Yeah. They were not ready for that. Not only that, have you ever seen a kicker recover his own onside kick?
Christie did it.
No.
For the comeback game.
Did he really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay, so it's happened twice. Nice. you're right, Mike. I forgot about the onside kick recovery. I mean, that was just, like you said, that was just, those guys were not prepared for that or ready for it or thought it might even possibly happen. And, you know, good on the Dolphins for doing that. I mean, you have nothing to lose. If it was me and I was in the same position, it's like, bring out all the trick plays. Do whatever you have to do. Try to pull out a victory. Who knows? So let's go into our stats of the game for today's game, for today's victory against the Miami Dolphins.
Well, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, can't. 40% of all people know that.
So, the Buffalo Bills going in, just here. Okay. Let's do a quick quiz on the Bills' season thus far. So the Bills are 7-3. Before this, they had a certain number of sacks. They had 7 sacks in today's game. What was the average number of sacks per game they were doing? The Bills' defense was getting before today's game. So average number of sacks per game. Before today's game, they got 7 today, which was obviously a high. Average number of sacks. You got to give me a decimal point, so feel free to do that if you want to. If you want to go whole number, the other person wants to go, like you guys always do, you know, 0.1 over, 0.9 under, whatever you do. Who won last time? Mike? All right, Mike, you go first. How many sacks per game?
You're going to penalize success?
Yep. How many sacks per game?
This isn't Russia. I should defer to John.
No, it's kind of like the draft where like the worst team goes first, but not first as far as guessing. They get the advantage. So it's confusing.
1.74.
John's right. It was 2.44 sacks per game. So they had 22 on the season before today's game. So only averaging roughly 2.5 sacks per game. Not great. But now they're ninth in the league with 29 sacks after today's game. So pretty impressive by the Bills defense. Hopefully this is a sign of things to go. Maybe they figured out the pass rush, which is, in my opinion, been an issue all season. On the Bills side of the ball, passing, obviously, you have Josh Allen, 21 for 33, 256 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and 2 rushing touchdowns. Man, this was a good game if you had Josh Allen as your quarterback in fantasy. Leading the ball, or leading the Bills rushing the ball, Devin Singletary, 15 carries for 75 yards, 5 yards a clip for Devin Singletary on the day. Just making something out of nothing.
2 fumbles.
Yeah, John, I guess. 2 fumbles, how many lost?
They're very lucky that that neither one of those were recovered from Miami.
The Bills seem, if it's not Josh Allen fumbling the ball, somebody else tries to take up for him. Tries to fill that void, if you will. Josh Allen had 7 rushes for 56 yards, 8 yards per rush. Frank Gore, 11 carries for 27 yards, 2.5 yards per carry. Rough game for Frank Gore, but I mean, that's not what he's known for. He's not known for getting big chunks of yardage. So, and leading receiver, and also the man whose jersey we're going to auction off yet again, raffle off, John Brown, 9 receptions for 137 yards and 2 touchdowns on 14 targets. Amazing game for John Brown. Easily Josh Allen's favorite target. Next on the list is Cole Beasley, 4 receptions for 38 yards on 4 targets, 4 for 4. Dawson Knox had 2 receptions on 3 targets, 32 yards, and that one touchdown, that one really great touchdown. And the Bills, I mean, just a great game by the Bills defensively. Let's start listing off the sacks. Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano combined for 1 sack, so they each had half a sack. Star Latulale, the famous fans, Bills fans punching bag, Star Latulale, had 1 sack today, 2 tackles for loss. Jordan Phillips with another sack today. Shaq Lawson with a sack. Ed Oliver with a sack. Jerry Hughes with a sack. Corey Legit with a sack. Lots of sacks. Everyone was getting in the mix today. Great game by the Bills defensive line. On the Dolphins side of the ball, we have Ryan Fitzpatrick, 32 for 45, 323 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Kalen Ballage, Mike mentioned this earlier. The Dolphins only had 23 yards rushing on the day, which is unbelievable. Kalen Ballage had 9 attempts for 9 yards and 1 touchdown. 1 yard per carry. 1 yard per carry today. But receiving-wise, I mean, Devontae Parker had an amazing game against the Bills. 7 receptions for 135 yards on 10 targets. We're going to take a quick commercial break. After that, we'll go into our plays of the game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. So stick around.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike, to discuss the Buffalo Bills defeating, dominating the Miami Dolphins 37-20. And to be honest, guys, I was a little worried about Steven Hauschka this week. He missed two clutch field goals last week, and I wasn't sure if this was going to be the start of a trend downward or if he was going to be able to bounce back. Were you guys worried at all going into this game about Steven Hauschka's performance?
I don't think I was worried yet, but you know, it was in the back of my mind for sure.
I think he's built up enough goodwill in the league and in Buffalo. I think he's still one of the premier kickers.
Yeah, I'm still in a wait and see sort of opinion. I hope this is what we see for the rest of the season. We'll see. Right now, there's a few stats that I wanted to go over that that were kind of important as far as the Bills season goes. Like John Brown, right now he holds the following franchise records. He holds most receiving yards in a player's first 10 games with Buffalo for 817. He has the most consecutive 50 plus yard games to open a season with 10. He has the most consecutive four catch 50 yard games with 10. I don't know. That's kind of specific, but Ed Oliver has sacks in both of the Bills games versus Miami's this season, making him the first Bill to do so since Mario Williams in 2014. And this was the most sacks in the day, the most by the Bills since a 7-sack day last season against the Houston Texans. Two touchdowns ties John Brown's career high for a single game. So a lot of records were tied today. It was a great game offensively. Now let's go into our plays of the game. So let's do our Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game.
Sweet Sassy Molassy, get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rubdown.
So I'll go first on this one. I don't know if it's something that you necessarily, it automatically comes to mind. I mean, it would be amazing if there was just one specific sack that looked better than all the sacks. It was great to see Ed Oliver get his second sack because his first one was kind of part of a weird busted play against the Dolphins where like the wide receiver became the quarterback or whatever. It was kind of a weird way to get his first sack in the NFL. But today's sack for Ed Oliver was an amazing play. But that's not my Sweet Sassy Molassy play of the game. Mine is going to go to Josh Allen's touchdown pass to Dawson Knox. And what I loved about this play and why it was my play of the game is because I mentioned earlier the defenses are trying to zero in on what Josh Allen doesn't do well. And there's a lot to be said. Josh Allen does not do well in the face of pressure. And on that play specifically, they went cover zero. At least I believe it was cover zero. I'm not a football expert, but they basically had everyone cover and they brought an all-out blitz. There's single man coverage, I believe. And then Dawson Knox was out there covered by, I believe, a safety. He caught the ball, ran for a touchdown. I mean, Josh Allen, in the face of pressure of them loading the box and bringing the house, he was able to find the open guy and ended up scoring a touchdown. And hopefully this is a sign, like we always mention with Josh Allen, an improvement, a sign of things to come, that he's improving, especially when it comes to pressure, being in his face, finding the open guy, finding the hot read, or whatever it goes. He did not just throw it up to John Brown like he did last week when they brought a lot of pressure, or he didn't roll out. And, you know, it was just, I don't know, that was something that to me shows some progress with Josh Allen. And that's obviously what we look for every week. What can he improve in? What can he get better in? And the fact that he's showing progress at all, I mean, I don't know, just makes me feel good inside. How about you, John? What was your play of the game for today's win?
I think I'd go with the Josh Allen pass to John Brown, the long one down the right sideline, where he was looking to his left and he had a defender that was coming up on him and he turned and he threw a really beautiful pass to John Brown and he just finished it and ran it in the end zone.
Love that play. That was another amazing play. Another amazing pass by Josh Allen today, throwing a frozen rope over to John Brown. Mike, what about you?
Neither of those are correct. The play of the game was when it was 23-14. It was 7 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Bills were facing a 3rd and 7, and Allen runs it in to make it 30-14. That, to me, the Bills never looked back at that point. Dolphins were trying to play catch up, just trying to pass to get back in the game. That was the play that sealed it for me.
That was a good one. Oh, all good plays. All good touchdowns. Oh. So
All Josh Allen plays.
All Josh Allen plays, exactly. Making
the only thing I did, do you remember my play?
Oh, the one where John Feliciano jumped on top of the back of Josh Allen after the touchdown?
That always makes me a little nervous. I don't like people jumping on me, like my lower back, you know?
Well, you're also...
You guys ever see that and wonder about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the time. Like, why would you do that? His poor back, right? Then you also have to remember he's like 22, right? So he's got at least another 10 years before that back is just giving way with
How much does Feliciano weigh?
Oh, God, you're right. Okay, so weight-wise, you're talking three bills, right? Easily on top of his back.
I mean, you could be in the absolute prime day, not even the year of your – the best physical day of your life, moment. And if somebody jumps like that and you try and catch them out away from your body just a little bit or
– Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Something wrong. Jeez. You just see all the clips of people celebrating – like after a sack, they celebrate and they get injured. They're out for the year. Or, oh, the kicker kicks a field goal, celebrates, he's done for the year. Like, it'd be so easy for one of these offensive linemen to jump in the arms of the quarterback and like, tweak his back.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, definitely. That makes me cringe. The more you talk about it, it's like, that's scary. What about when like guys on defense, they have a big sack, they slam helmets together. And I'm like, bro, like just a little bit less. Like, I know you're pumped after that play. Just like a slap on the helmet, maybe a slap on the ass. I don't know. Something better than a potential
concussion.
In the NFL,
man, you file that away for 30 years from now when you get sued by that player. Like,
Corey Legit.
Gus Frat, like, rammed his head into, like, the back of the end zone, the padding over there, and he knocked himself out or something like that after a score.
Yes, I remember that. What is he, a Detroit Lion? Gus Frat, I believe.
Bunch of teams, I think, didn't he?
Well, I think that one was with I don't know who it was with, but yeah, I remember him going, yeah, him headbutting the, he thought it was padded, it just wasn't padded enough, and he hit it just perfectly. You guys remember that Seahawks player, that like special teamer that was coming out of the tunnel and was just so psyched, he hit himself with his own helmet, he was just bleeding from the nose and forehead.
Man, protect your heads, faces.
Yeah, who was the kicker that jumped up after kicking a game-winning field goal and tore his ACL? Who was that, Mike? The famous, the brothers.
I don't know, Nate.
The kicker. There were famous kickers in the 90s. Like
Grammatica?
Grammatica, yes. It was one of the Grammaticas. Yes. Yes. The Grammatica's got to be having some children coming through the NFL soon, right? I mean, that was forever ago. Bills could use a Grammatica.
Vinny Grammatica?
Vinny? Martin? No. Martin Grammatica? So, I mean, in saying that, you know, plays the game, let's go into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers of the game, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at the DeLago Casino and Resort. If you guys haven't been there, you should definitely check it out. It's a cool place. We are going to record a podcast or two between now and the end of the season there. We'll let you guys know in advance. Follow us on social media if you guys aren't following us on Twitter, please do so at CTW Pod. It's at Circling the Wagons Pod. Instagram, same thing. Facebook, just search Circling the Wagons Podcast. We'll let you guys know when we're going to do that. They said the nice people at DeLago said they were going to have some swag to give away for any of the listeners. And it's just going to be a cool time. Mike, do you know
you're
what
you're going to have to? I was going to say, you got to swing by DraftKings and cash in your over, right?
Oh, Bills. I'm almost there.
Begin the year, 6.5 wins, and this already better record than last year and put you in the money.
So, okay. So I got it when it was 7 wins. So I know. It was 6.5 wins for the longest time. And then when I finally made a bet on it, it was 7 wins. So I'm at a push right now.
When did you do it? When they were 3-0?
No. It was like right before the season. For some reason, I think it was because everyone was betting the over on that the line just kind of shifted to 7 because they were just and it wasn't a lot of money. Like this is like I'll completely disclose how much money I bet $100. If I win, I win only $60. I mean, I win $160. I win $160, but you know, only 60 net profit, which is kind of crappy if you think about it. You know, all things considered, but you know. Whatever, but yeah, so one more win. Maybe it's against the Denver Broncos this next week. The 3-7 Denver Broncos. But yeah, remember last time I was just mentioning this on the recap last week, that we bet a parlay at DraftKings at the sports book, and we bet the two separate games, and it was crazy. Like, we won all three, and normally I don't care about, like, it was like the Jets Browns game. It's like, who cares, you know? But you know, we had a parlay to that one and the Chiefs Raiders game. We hit them both, and that's pretty sweet, you know. So, Wall of Famer for today's game. Mike, do you want to go first on this one?
I was trying to think back to the when you're telling me about all the money we won. I'm like, man, I didn't make that much. And then I remembered you guys fronted me the money anyway, so
yeah,
but you had to get that back.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't win that much overall because we had to front.
Yeah,
John fronted most of it. John had the cash. John was money bags that day. It was like, well, we wanted to bet like $25 a piece, and like I only had like 20. Mike had zero, and John's like, don't worry, I got the rest. I got the others.
It's a cashless society.
What's also,
I'm ahead of the game. Go ahead. What?
Yeah, you can't bet with Bitcoin, okay? Like, cryptocurrency isn't a thing yet that you could just but what's cool is, since unfortunately mobile betting isn't legal yet, so you literally have to go to the DraftKings sportsbook to bet. But what's cool is it's really only like one of four places in New York State that does it. And if you live upstate, if you live in upstate New York like we do, I mean, it's a hell of a lot closer than Vegas, which Vegas is literally the only place, the only other place I've ever made bets on games. So the fact that it's really in your own backyard, or it's only a short drive away, like, that's pretty cool. Something that we don't normally have. So, so yeah, Mike, you didn't win much that day, but you didn't put much in. You didn't put anything in, basically.
But it's like, oh, this amazing thing happened. Oh, this amazing thing happened. And this amazing thing happened. And it wasn't one, two, three. It was like all three had to happen.
Yeah.
And thinking back to high school, like, wow, that's a hell of a long odds. It should pay off. It should pay off. And all my money went to you guys.
So I did put $10 on the Bills winning the Super Bowl. So that's like an 80-1 thing. So that's like $800, which it won't happen. I mean, not that it won't happen, because it won't happen just because I bet on it. Like, it's not because the Bills don't have a good enough team to do it. It's just because I bet on it. It probably won't happen. But normally, you know, my stance on betting on the Bills is bet against them, so that if they win, you win. And if they lose, you win, you know? So, geez, am I. Anyways, what was the point spread on this game, Mike? Do you remember?
No.
I want to say it was 9.5 points. Bills were favored by 9.5 points. I could definitely see Vegas getting back at the Bills for screwing them last time. The Bills were 17-point favorites last time. They're like, you know what? Screw these guys. We're only going to give them 9.5-point favorites. And then the Bills actually score 17 points more than the other team, completely cover. So if you bet on the Bills at the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago in the over, then you won some money. So not bad. So I'm going to go first then on my Wall of Famer, since Mike keeps stalling. Wall. I'm going to give my...
It's Josh Allen. It's got to be.
Continue.
Oh, sorry. I mean, who else would it be? He had the career high passer rating at 117.7. To have no turnovers, to continue that streak.
Yeah. Yeah, I was...
With three rushing, like, where else could you go?
Yeah. No, he looked great. He's going to be my Wall of Famer for today's game. Yeah, just a great game. But this is another game. This is how I want to see Josh Allen perform against bad teams. And then, you know, the more experience he gets, the more games he gets under his belt, maybe he'll start showing this against good teams too, or against mediocre teams, against, you know, just this. I feel like he for the most part dominated today. So, John, what about you? Is it consensus Wall of Fame for all three of us, Josh Allen, or do you have someone else you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, it's Josh Allen, for sure. There's definitely a number of honorable mentions. I mean, you got John Brown, 9-137, two touchdowns. He had a fumble recovery. The Bills' offensive line allowed no sacks, almost 5 yards per carry rushing for the Bills' offense. And then we already talked about the defense. 7 sacks to 8 different players, only allowed 23 yards rushing. It was just a really good day for the Bills.
Yeah. Yeah, John Brown also. I got to give honorable mention to John Brown. Had a hell of a game today. I don't think when we signed John Brown that we would have thought that he'd be putting up better numbers than like Odell Beckham Jr., you know, in the Browns offense, but he has. He's been looking great. So really glad we got him. Imagine just for a moment if we had like a Julio Jones or something opposite of John Brown. John Brown was our second receiver. Like, we would be unstoppable. You have two of these, or even another John Brown. I don't even care if it's Julio Jones necessarily. Just another guy like John Brown. That'd be unbelievable. Offense would be unstoppable. So now let's go into our wall of shame for today's game. Who do we think deserves to be put on the wall of shame?
Shame. Shame. Shame.
I have one. Can I go first, guys? You don't care, Gary. Right? You don't care. You don't give a shit. I'm going to put the Bills special
team. Head coach.
Yes, special teams. Special teams and special teams coaching. Yes, yes, correct. Correct. That's exactly what I was going to say. It was really in my opinion, and I think we've pretty much alluded to that this whole podcast, it was the biggest hole in today's game. Man, when you have, my opinion on special teams has always been if 90% of them are unnoticeable, like they just happen. Like you have some decent run backs, but not too many. You have some decent coverage, nothing too bad. But when they're like really great, they like transform games. But when they're really crappy, they also transform games. And it was luckily the Bills just dominated offensively and defensively that what happened on the special teams did not matter whatsoever. So yeah, wall of shame has to go to special teams. So Mike obviously clearly believes that too. John, yourself?
I agree.
3-for-3 consensus. This never happens. This never happens on our podcast. Awesome. So let's go to Twitter, where our, you know what I've started to realize, and I appreciate everyone that writes in to our Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame tweet that we post after each game every week. If you're not following us, please do SCTW Pod, which is Circling the Wagons Pod. And we always get some really great responses, like as soon as the game's done. And I know, because our listeners are that good, that they're like thumbing these, they're putting down some thoughts into it, and they're really putting together some interesting takes each week. So I really appreciate one that goes through that, because we're starting to get a lot of the same people over and over again. So I think they just really enjoy hearing their name on the podcast. You know, who wouldn't? You know, we're all vain. You know, we all like hearing our names and in something, knowing that we're special. But there's been some really great takes. I really appreciate everyone tweeting into us. So Mike Taylor is in for like the 10th week in a row. Mike Taylor writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, John Brown, the Run D. Wall of Shame, special teams. Right there with you. Josh Allen had great touch this game. Great bounce back for Dable and the play calling. And Hauschka going 3-for-3. Great all-around effort. Absolutely. 100% agree. Friends of the Feathered tweets in, Wall of Fame, the D-line, Oliver and newbie Legit. And praise for dominating an overmatched O-line that they should have dominated. Haven't seen that in recent years. That is a great point brought up there, because they should have dominated them that same way the first meeting, and they didn't. Wall of Shame goes to special teams, except for Hauschka, which I 100% agree. I might even give Bajorquez, you know, an exception on that one. I don't think he had that bad of a game today either. Devin Brown, Wall of Fame, John Brown. Wall of Shame for the special teams and myself for not starting Josh Allen in fantasy this week. Ooh. Ah, that was Devin, that was a key matchup, man. Key matchup against a crappy team. Josh Allen must have had, like, what, 35, 40 points today? Eric writes, Fame to the offense and whoever put Brian Dable in the penalty box upstairs. I don't know this reference specifically, but he said Pinties for making the worst buffalo wings ever. I don't know Pinties, Pinties maybe? Pinties, Pinties? Not familiar with that, but definitely not a sponsor of this podcast or a partner, so we can trash Pinties ever, however we want. Jeffrey Waddy is in. The cone of shame is removed from all. Wow, for now. But he did write ... for now. But really, Wall of Fame, Allen for working to his strengths, and Brown for doing his usual, greater than 100 yards receiving. Hashtag Let's Go Buffalo, which is Mike Zink, writes Wall of Fame, Big Josh Allen. Wall of Shame, Ufa, the Dolphins' very offensive line. Ufa, the Dolphins' very offensive line. Thorpe writes in, Wall of Fame, you kidding me? Only one winner here. McDermott won a challenge call. That's a great one. He did. Wow. What is that like? What is he? I think he's like 1-for-15. No, 2-for-15 now. What a challenge. Turn the onside recovery into 7 points for Buffalo. Doesn't get any better than that. Wall of Shame, can't really single anyone out. Special teams, kick coverage gets the call. Absolutely. The kick coverage. And he said, forgot to mention, plays of the game, every beautiful sack, all seven of them, and smoke to house from Josh, 40-yarder, boom. Mind you, though, we have to say, though, this wasn't a specific deep ball by Josh Allen. It wasn't like, you know, one of the plays that he's really missing. I think he's 2 for 38 still on passes with air yards over 30, because I believe that was only like a 20-yard pass in air yardage. But still, a great pass, great long pass from Josh. Can't take that away from him. Tyler Durden wrote, Wall of Fame Lee Smith, his first action without a penalty in the game. That's a good one, man. We have some good freaking listeners and tweeters. Holy crap. Wall of Shame, special teams on the kick return. Pretty glorious day otherwise for the entire team. Absolutely. A dominating game. Jason Statham is in. Jason, so I want to come up with a good soundbite for Jason Statham, but I can only think of using like a soundbite from Crank, one of the best movies in general of all time, I'll say. And I don't think that's overstating anything. Maybe next to Crank 2, perhaps. But yeah, it's hard to come up with a... You find that it's hard to come up with a good Jason Statham soundbite because he hasn't said a whole lot of amazing things in a lot of amazing movies. He's just an amazing actor, that's all. So Jason Statham writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, five games without an interception, threw the ball well, ran when needed to get good yards, all-around good game. All-around good day. Special mention for John Brown, Matt Milano, and Tremaine Edmonds. Absolutely. Wall of Shame, special teams, for giving up too many return yards, and also Dable for trying to pull off a stash. Did you guys check out Brian Dable's mustache before the game? Did you guys see those picks? It looked a little bit like, looked kind of similar to Andy Reid out there. But man, if that's what it takes, man, going from the beard to the stash, because you know what they say about stashes. With great mustache comes great responsibility, so.
Wait, if I go in there, I could get hurt? No. No, with great mustache comes great responsibility.
Hanover, Bill 6-3 tweets in, Wall of Fame, John Brown, Josh Allen, Stephen Hauschka, that order. John Brown and Allen coalesced like nuts and bolts of the same size. Nice. Nice analogy. Some wonky throws on Josh's end, but that's not out of the norm. Wall of Shame? I'm honestly not sure. I can't think of anyone. Beanie, by the way, she's been messaging us and tweeting us and letting us know, asking us if someone has won the John Brown signed jersey. So she's hoping to be the one this week. We'll see if she is. Wall of Fame, she says, that D-line. We were giving sacks the way Oprah gives away cars. You get a sack. You get a sack.
You get a car. You get a car. You get a car. You get a car.
Wall of Shame, special teams, and Wallace, Levi Wallace. I think we should give Kevin Johnson the majority of snaps from now on. Another Sunday with no turnovers for Josh. Just saying. Man, a lot of people down on Levi Wallace. I'm not opposed to giving Kevin Johnson more snaps. I'd really like to see how this defense performs with Trey White had that big, huge gaffe against Devontae Parker that almost led to a touchdown towards the end of the game as the Dolphins were driving. But, you know, overall, I can't be too upset. 335 yards, though, is a lot of yards passing for this secondary, though. I was kind of surprised by that. Jaron Scroggins writes in, Wall of Fame, Dable's mustache. Yes, 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 yes. Wall of Shame, whoever isn't getting Beasley more involved. Agreed. We've always kind of been hard on Dable for not getting Singletary involved. That seemed obvious. I'd say the next person needs more than because we just have so many freaking good tweets, man. It's hard to stop, honestly. Kevin Whitney writes in, Wall of Fame, Matt Milano. If the guy was on a team like Baltimore or New England, he'd get the recognition he deserves. 100% agree with this, Kevin. 100%. He would be Pro Bowler, all pro talk already. The guy's unbelievable ever since he stepped on the field as a rookie. Wall of Shame, the Bills special teams. Absolutely awful. And I think we'll end with this one. Wall of Fame, Allen. A confident interception-free outing. This is from Richard Griswold. Richard W. Griswold. Wall of Fame, Josh Allen. A confident interception-free outing. Three pass touchdowns, one rushing touchdown. John Brown, big receptions, bigger yards after catch. Coaching box. If Dable is nearsighted, this is the biggest development all season. Jordan Poyer, a heads-up fumble recovery. That was an amazing play. I know it didn't make our play of the game, but the Jordan Poyer fumble recovery from Alan Hearns just kind of dropping it all of a sudden was a great heads up play by Jordan Poyer. And I believe that was the play that Sean McDermott challenged and actually got, correct? Nice. The Bills run D, 13 carries, 23 yards, 1.8 yards per carry. See, that's what I'm talking about. Richard W. Griswold is, again, one of those tweeters that just comes with the stats, comes with the takes. It's not just like Wall of Fame, Allen, Wall of Shame, you know, special teams. And then Adam Talmadge. Okay, this is the last one because Adam's always in. Adam always coming in. Adam Talmadge writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, John Brown. Best game they played all year. Hauschka bounced back and was perfect. Wall of Shame, special teams, allowed an onside kick recovery, allowed a 101-yard kick return for a touchdown, and got owned by Danny Crossman. Wouldn't surprise me. So thank you for everyone for your tweets into our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at Del Lago Casino Resort in Waterloo, New York. So, you know, we usually go over any major injuries for the game. There was a huge injury to Ty Nsekhe where he had to be carted off the field. So that didn't look good. Was looking earlier at Twitter and Banged Up Bills. Kyle Trimble over at Banged Up Bills was listening to it over in the car, and he says, doesn't sound good. Sounds like a fracture, which I'm sure it is if based on the air cast and them carting him off the field. Probably, I can't imagine we get him back for the rest of the season, which kind of sucks because a lot of us believe that he had the edge over Cody Ford for the right tackle position. Cody Ford constantly gets beaten by speed, and it was really it's tough to see Nsekhe out there and see his season end. Hopefully he comes back for camp in next season as a right tackle. So that was unfortunate. So any final thoughts on today's game, guys? We have the tops right now in the AFC. Like, that's a big deal. Like, that's a good thing. We got the 3-7 Broncos next week in Buffalo. So you got to feel good about that. So think that 8-3 is a really good possibility. Is there anything I missed? Is there anything you guys wanted to discuss before I go into the John Brown signed jersey giveaway?
Well, here's one for you. So we're 7-3, right? This is the 14th time the Bills have gone 7-3 in franchise history. All other 13 times they've made the playoffs, including 6 title appearances.
Wow. Dude, John. Stat of the game. Stats of the game. God. Well done, John. So we're definitely making the playoffs is what you're saying. I just wanted to make sure that's... You heard it here first. John from Circling the Wagon said we're definitely making the playoffs at 7-3. All right, man. Nice.
What do you guys think point spread next week is?
Point spread for next week? Against the Denver Broncos in Buffalo. 3-7, Denver Broncos in Buffalo. I'm going to say 6.5. What do you think?
6.
What'd you say? 6.4?
Opening at 5.5. I like that.
Dude, I love that.
I think we make the trip to Del Lago next week and hammer that.
Oh, dude, I'm getting in the car right now and going over to Del Lago and hammering that. Do you know what the over-under?
5.5, 7-3 Bills against the 3-7 Broncos in Buffalo. Home team's supposed to get 3 points. And they're going to get some respect.
I know. The Broncos have a backup quarterback, too, as their starter. Like, this is a no-brainer. So, Mike, you game?
To take money out of your 401k, you can just put it back.
It's true.
I like the bet, but when you start talking no-brainer, I get excited.
I mean, you're just borrowing from yourself in your 401k, right? So you're really, you're not hurting anyone. You're paying interest, but you just have to pay yourself back, so whatever.
It's just like a couple of days interest. That's nothing. You can't put in double, probably. You can put back what you took out and then just play with you doubled up.
Yeah, these betting thoughts are, thoughts and feelings are only by the Circling the Wagon podcast, not by Del Lago Casino. But yeah, man, you should definitely bet some money on it. Oh, man. So, all right, let's do our...
Don't you think, though, 5.5?
Dude, that's nothing. I think that's easily doable. Absolutely. In Buffalo, are you kidding me? Definitely.
All right, let's do it.
Broncos minus Bradley Chubb. He's on IR for the year, so...
Who?
Bradley. Exactly. Dude, I'm all in. I'm all in. Hey, maybe we show up to DeLago next week to do our appearance, and we'll just put it all together. So
it gets more and more outlandish.
It does. Let's just do a 10-game parlay. You know, just do it. Whatever. It's just watch. That was another thing that was funny. Is do a 10-game parlay. And we're just like, wow, we got 10 teams, right? It's like $20. We just win 20. So let's do our what everyone's been waiting for, and probably what 99% of the people have just fast forwarded this whole podcast to get to, is the John Brown autograph signed jersey. Now, if you are one of these people that still wants to know how, if you're a listener, because we obviously have more than 50 or 60 listeners, just barely though, not that many more than 50 or 60, but we have 50 or 60 contestants now to win this autographed signed jersey of John Brown. So if you're one of those people that isn't in yet, but wants to be in, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and then retweet the original John Brown tweet. You can find it in our Twitter timeline, or just message me or tweet me and I will send it over to you so you can retweet it. And leave us a review. Actually, a gentleman by the name of Jared Scroggins just got in like right before the podcast. He's like, hey, how do I get into this, you know, John Brown signed jersey? I'm like, oh, all you have to do is just do this, this, and this. And he did it within like 10 minutes. So it's not that hard to do. In fact, like 60 people have done it. It's just that you have to listen each week too, to actually know if you won. Like I mentioned the first week, our good friend Dave won. And I know he listens. He just didn't listen last week. One of the guy that actually we picked last week listens, and he's very active on Twitter with us. Cool guy. His name is Braden, and he just didn't listen to that one and get back to me. So if you are listening to this podcast and you win, you have to respond to me. You have to message me. You have to tweet me. You have to message me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and let me know that you win and let me know so I can send it to you. So again, you know, not worry.
I'm starting to think like you're blocking these people. As soon as you pick the one,
post them. I block them on Twitter so that there's no way they can find me. Well, hey, you know, it just keeps the suspense going. You know, but luckily there's like 8 or 10 people that are constantly messaging me. Hey, did somebody win? I'm like, no. So if one of those 8 or 10 people gets it, like, you know, this week, then I think we're going to be okay. I thought we were good last week. I was wrong. Braden was listening. So maybe this week. Okay. So, all right. Let's try to do a week drum roll, please. Boop. Oh, I think we might have a winner here. We'll see. This one is from Talmadge 18. Which is Adam Talmadge. I do know that for a fact because he's in every single week on the Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame. But, Adam, you have to listen to this podcast and you have to message me. And you have to let me know that you listened and that you know you're the winner, and you have to send me your address. So, Adam Talmadge, even though you're a regular contributor, the Wall of Famer, Wall of Shamer, each week, I'm pretty sure you listened. And I'm pretty sure you had a really nice review that you left us. You have to get back to us, okay? So for now, we'll say congratulations to Adam. We'll see you next week if he listens and he gets back to us. But this is a good time to end the podcast, guys. Really good talking to both of you again, getting in the groove of it. Always good to talk Bills after a victory. Always pumped to walk into work on Monday. You know, chest puffed a little bit. Not puffed out too much because it was the Dolphins. But, you know, feeling good about myself. And, yeah, so... The Bills facing the 3-7 Broncos next week in Buffalo. Signing off for John.
7-3. Go Bills. Let's go. Super Bowl.
For Mike.
Lock Dable upstairs in the press box and lay some coin on the Bills to win by more than 5.5 next week.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. The Bills sweeping the Dolphins this season, going into next week against this weak-ass spread and the weak-ass Broncos, and enjoy this. The Buffalo Bills 2019 anthem from recording artist Dom Brown. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. It's the Buffalo Bills, hey, it's the Buffalo Bills, hey. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Trey Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes, who blocking us?
don't see nobody stopping us. No. Number one, no one on top of us. What they gonna do when Matt Milano coming with the blitz off the edge? Yeah. Don't you throw it in the air, cause Trey White and Micah Hyde will intercept. Yeah. Star a lot of Louis double team, not a team getting easy sacks. Yeah. Jerry Hughes with the double moves, coming straight for the quarterback. Take him down, take him down. Yeah. McDermott clapping on the sidelines, and the crowd going crazy. Mafia, it's all time. Uh-huh. Circling the wagons. Yeah. With the mafia, yeah. Yeah. Circling the wagons. Nate Auburn, where you at?
Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia.
I hear you.
Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia.
I hear you.
Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. 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 It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. It's the Buffalo Bills, ayy. Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo is the mafia. Josh Allen, Frank Gore, John Brown, who's stopping us? Jordan Poyer, Trey Day, Rizzo, who blocking us? I don't see nobody stopping us. Number one, no one on top of us. Mitch Moore snapped at Josh Allen, looking down the field. See no one open, so he scrambled right. He sees somebody open, but he off balance, so he gotta be focused. Dawkins with the block, Allen with the shock. 70 yards, will it be caught? Zay Jones or Cole Beasley? Down the field, past the whole roster, so that's Robert Foster, make it so easy. Touchdown, new era field rocking every Sunday. Got a hangover on every Monday. House money kicking, you know we winning. Josh Allen passing, who gon' pass us? With Devin and Frank, you know we great. If you're not a Bills fan, we don't relate.
Nah.
Buffalo, 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 it's the mafia. Nate Arbel, Don Brown on the podcast, who's stopping us? Circling the wagons with the mafia, who's stopping us? No one.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.